Revelation 13. Amen. We're getting closer and closer and closer to Revelation, the end of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 3, but we're getting closer all the time. The Bible talks about the Antichrist, and that's in Revelation 13. This is the Antichrist coming up out of the sea. And the Antichrist, he comes up, and he has an inconspicuous beginning. He makes a treaty with the Jews for 7 years. He overcomes some of the resistance in the uniting Europe and the European Union. He heads up the European nations and the Confederacy. He attacks the king of the south and the north and is killed in Daniel chapter 11. His deadly wound he's shot probably in the head or stabbed in the head, and he dies and he resurrects just like Jesus Christ does. He becomes a world ruler because they say, who is like this guy? And he breaks the Jewish treaty that he had signed with them, and the temple's rebuilt. He goes into the temple, claims himself to be God. Two witnesses show up named Moses and Elijah, and they're preaching in Revelation 11. And then he goes out and he does kill Moses and Elijah. And he kills 144,000. So when you're reading Revelation, you're reading that about this Antichrist, and the Bible talks about him, all the way back to Genesis chapter 13, chapter 3, and all the way through Revelation, the Antichrist and the devil and all that, it's all there. And you can make a movie about it. I thought about trying to get Dr. Upman's, I think we have it, show his slide presentation on the book of Revelation some night. Maybe it'll take a couple of nights to do it. But it's classic, I'm telling you what. It's got all the scripture right with it. He's got all the pictures. And it'll do something for you where you see it. We as Americans, we have to see everything for you really to get a hold of it. But this thing is happening, man. It's coming together. What's his name? Hannibal on the A-Team always says, I love it when a plan comes together. It's coming together, man. The plan is coming together. And the Lord's in control. And that's why I tell people, you ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about everything. God's got everything under control. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of his children. And I know that. And what we got to do is keep on keeping on until he comes back. And keep serving him, trying to win souls, keep a right attitude, and pray for souls. Pray God give you fruit so you won't be sitting there with no fruit at all. In Revelation 13, and we've gone through the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about blessed is he that reads the book of Revelation and reads it and studies it. And then, you know what, you won't be wondering when things come down the pike. And I'm always watching to see what's coming down the pike next. I'm always trying to watch the Israeli news. I'm trying to see what's going on, reading world events, what's happening. My sister just told me this. She said she heard the prime minister of Germany the other day. She said within a year, Islam is going to have enough votes in Germany to overpower the German government. If the people, and they're flooding in. They're flooding in. Islam is. And I thank God Donald Trump said, let's stop this mess, stop all this stuff, and stop them from coming in. Isn't it funny that the Bible says the Antichrist is going to be a Syrian Jew? And here we got folks coming from Syria. And you say, you hate them people? No. We need to win them to Jesus Christ. If you see a dark-skinned person look like they're Asian or they're Arab, you ought to be witnessing to them. You ought to take a track. That's what they try to do is they're going to convert people by force. And what Jesus Christ done, he gave them the word of God, and that's what we're supposed to do, give them the word of God. They make a choice. And we know when the Lord comes back, he's going to come back to fight in Revelation 19, and guess who he's going to be fighting? He's going to be fighting the Antichrist, and he's going to be fighting Islam and the Catholic Church and other religions. Greek Orthodox, all the religions of the world that's going to come back and go against him. Now, the Bible says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. This beast is the unholy Trinity, the Antichrist. He says, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Chapter 12, the devil has 10 crowns. Look over at chapter 12, verse 3. We looked at this last time. It said, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads, 10 horns, seven crowns upon his head. And here, over here in Revelation 13, he has 10 horns and 10 crowns upon his head. He's got three more crowns than what he has over in Revelation 12. He picks up three more. And it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And the sea is probably the Mediterranean area. It's probably there. It says, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his head, or upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. He's an integrated, multicultured fella. It says, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. We've covered this last time. And it says, in his mouth as the mouth of a lion. He's speaking English, universal language. The bear, it represents Russia being a socialist. And it says, the dragon gave him his power and his seat. Notice the seat, his seat, and great authority. Now, go to chapter 14. I was reading this today, I believe, and it talks about the seat. Revelation 14, and look over where it says, I saw it in my other Bible here. Somebody find me where it says the seat here. What is it? No, that's not the one. That's where the Bible describes the seat. But over here in Revelation 14, I thought I read it today. Maybe I missed. Go to Revelation 2 and look at verse 13 there. Revelation 2, but I thought it was in 14. I saw something today about the seat. All right, go to 2, chapter 2. And, you know, when the Bible talks about these seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and verse chapter 3, spiritually, they're an age, and then doctrinally, the tribulation, and then historically, there were seven churches. But Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name. And that has to be, it's the church of Pergamos. He says, and hast not denied my faith, even those days where Amphipolis was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. And we know the seat is in Rome. It's Rome. And that's where the seat is. Now, go back to Revelation 13. Somebody find that place in 13. Oh, man. I thought I should have marked it. Revelation 14. I should have marked that thing. All right, go back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, it says, and bare mouth of a lion, and dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And it says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And it says, and all the world wondered after the beast. I mean, he's going to be a counterfeit Jesus Christ. He's going to get wounded and on the death, and then he's going to rise from the dead. In Revelation chapter 12, look at chapter 12, 14. Look what it says, 12, 14. And the woman were given two wings like a great eagle that she might fly in the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for time, half a time, from the face of the serpent. The Bible calls it the serpent that's after her. And it says his deadly wound was healed. And the Bible tells you, go back in Genesis chapter 3. Look about that head. Look about the head. Revelation 3. Look what the Bible says. It's a prophecy. After sin entered into this world, after sin came in Adam and Eve, and then the Lord gives a prophecy about the devil and about his son, Jesus Christ. In Revelation, Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 15. 3:15. It says, and verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, notice the serpent's there, he's over in Revelation, he's all the way through but the Bible. And we always tell people this, that the devil has, he's intertwined into the seed of man throughout history. That's why the Bible calls Cain of that wicked one. The devil has a seed, goes through. When the Antichrist shows up, he's going to be from a seed. So where is he coming from? He comes from a seed. But it's got to be a woman involved. And it's got to be Satan involved. When Jesus Christ was born, God was involved and a woman was involved. So when the devil shows up, there's got to be a woman involved and the devil involved. And then Genesis 6, where the Bible says God destroyed the world because the sons of God came onto the daughters of men and they produced giants. So there's a seed. Everybody tries to say, in the commentaries, try to say that angels are sexless. No, they're not. They have a seed. Look in Genesis 3. Look at verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go. So the serpent was walking. And thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And God said, you're going to be on your belly from now on. So when a man dies and goes to hell, he becomes like his father, the devil, and a serpent in a lake. Has a face, hands, feet, but he's like the serpent. Jesus said, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, Luke 13. Three times he said it. So I tell people, when you get saved, God transformed you. When the rapture takes place, we're going to be like the Son of God. We're going to have a body like his. If a person's lost and goes to hell, they're going to have a body like who? Satan, the serpent. They'll be just like him. Boy, after I got saved and I started learning this, I said, thank you, Lord, I got saved. Man, they have it on all the ambulances. They got the serpent around the pole. That's when Moses made that serpent of brass. They got that serpent. Look at verse 15. God says this, I will put enmity between the woman and what he say? And between thy seed. The devil has a seed. And her seed. My wife just told me the other day, she said, there's a boy in Florida killed another little boy over a toy. He was 11 years old, killed a 4-year-old boy at the house they visited him with, strangled him to death. Man, you know the devil's working on people's lives. Working in people's lives and planting seeds in their minds. And that when people are doing drugs, they're out of control. And he says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall what? Bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know what Paul wrote to the church? He said, shortly, the Lord is going to bruise Satan's head under your feet. Satan ain't bruised yet. He ain't done yet. He said, what about on the cross? Yeah, he did that to Jesus Christ, this heel. He's going to get his head bruised. He's going to get bruised, for sure. And I'm glad, like I said the other day, I said, I'm glad I got to read the end of the book. I know who wins and who loses, amen? You read Revelation 12, you see who loses. Now look what the Bible says. And God tells us all this stuff. He prepares us for it. So here's what's coming. Now, we're not going to be here. I told the Jehovah's Witnesses the other day I was talking to them. I said, y'all going to be here for it. You'll have it straight. You'll have your doctrine straight then. You'll have it straight then. Endure to the end. Amen. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I mean, folks, they're already talking about war with the beast. And then you got the beast talks with his mouth, gets 200 million men to come against Jerusalem to go against Jesus Christ. That beast with his mouth. Because the Bible says in Daniel, I'll read over here Daniel chapter 8. In Daniel chapter 8, it says he uses his mouth to persuade the world. And just with his mouth, he's a good speaker. I've said that about some of the presidents we've had. They've been good speakers, but they lie through their teeth. They lie every time they speak. You say, how do you know they're lying? Every time they move their mouth, they're lying. Politicians. Look in Daniel chapter 8, and it says, Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. So this beast is intertwined with a kingdom. This beast is intertwined with the devil. It says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And look at here, the ten horns out of the out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall rise. And see, the Bible's a self-interpreter. You say, what's the ten horns? It's ten kingdoms and ten kings. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. There's three right there. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Right now, everybody say, man, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm just kind of just, we got all the modern conveniences. We got everything. We got a car. We got washing machines. We got this. We got that. And we're wore out. And we're just tired. Some of us stay up too late. That's where our problem is. And but we're wore out. The Bible says he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times, laws, and they shall give it into his hand until time, and dividing of time, 3.5 years. And so the devil and the Antichrist, the beast, I mean, they're all as an ungodly trinity all together, and they're going to come together all at once. In Revelation 12, he gets cast out of the third heaven, gets cast down to the earth, and all three, the unholy trinity, come out of the pit. All three is going to unite. All going to come together. Isn't that something? Preacher. Yes, sir. 16:10. There it is. I was reading through Revelation this morning. Here it is. I thought it was 14. At Revelation 16:10, it says, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And a kingdom was full of darkness. Just like they, when God brought 10 plagues against Egypt, it was a type of what's coming. When God brought, when the Pharaoh said, who is God that I should let his people go? And God's going to do same thing. It says, look at this. And God's going to pour out a vial on the seat of the beast, the Vatican. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. So God's going to pour out his vial on the seat of Satan. And the devil's definitely got a seat. Now, go back to Revelation 13 and look at verse 5. And the Bible says, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. This guy is going to be mouthy mouth. He's going to be able to speak all and say all kinds of things, and people are going to follow him for 42 months. He'll make a treaty. He'll talk. He's a good talker. He's a real good talker. And then he breaks the treaty. He breaks this. I think I've read somewhere where there's been over the 6,000 years of man, there's only been 200 years of peace. There's been about 8,000 treaties broken that man has signed between man and kingdom. They've broke over 8,000 treaties throughout the 6,000 years. This guy is going to break, is not going to mean nothing to him. He'll sign a treaty. You see all the presidents and everybody up there, and you know, signing a treaty with Russia. And you know what? It don't mean a beans. Don't mean nothing. Russia's still arming to the teeth. Iran's still arming to the teeth. I mean, folks, North Korea. Clinton got up and said, well, we signed a treaty. We made an agreement. And guess what? Don't mean beans. And we signed a treaty with Iran, and they're not going to make any nuclear bombs. Don't mean beans. Speaking great things, talking and a bunch of talk. And you know what? When the Lord comes back and he starts talking and when he sets things down, he's going to rule. I went over to see Brother Jack the other day, Brother Jack Lynch. And Brother Jack Lynch and I was talking about the book of Revelation and book of Daniel. And we were sitting there talking about it. And, you know, we talked about these treaties and all that stuff. And he said, you know what? You think about this. When the Lord comes back, even the world in the millennium, they're going to hate Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's going to rule with a rod of iron. The Lord's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. It's going to be his way or the highway. And the world's going to rebel against him. Satan's going to be loosed off the chain for a little while and in the millennium, and then he's going to get the kingdoms of the world to follow him again, and he's going to go against Jerusalem, and the Bible says God's going to consume, they're going to stand there and be consumed. And look back at Revelation 13. Look at what it says in verse 5. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're going? I mean, man, I'm when I read this book and I start thinking, thank God I'm saved. I mean, I don't have religion. I don't have catechism and all that stuff that I'm trusting. I got salvation by from God himself that he paid for. And ain't nothing in the world that, you know, they say, well, you get baptized, give you money, and do all that stuff, then you'll go to heaven. That's a lie. Another lie. And it says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God and to blaspheme his name. Look at this. Blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. This guy, this Antichrist comes out and says, God, blank you and your kingdom and blank them people in heaven. And blank, if I could, I'm going to come up there. That's what he tried to do in Revelation 12. That's what he tried to do. He tried to go into the third heaven and take over. If you're reading your Bible in Revelation 12, he gets cast out. Look at this. Go back to Revelation 12. That's what he tried to do. That hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. The devil is going to go in and try to take heaven, attack heaven. Third world war. It says in verse 7, there was war in heaven. So what do you think that war was about? The devil trying to go in and take it. It almost, you know, they made that movie, you know, Camelot. They made that movie. All these movies they come out with comes from the Bible. It is a bad guy trying to take over a good kingdom. That's what it's about. A bad guy trying to take over a good kingdom. And Camelot, they made about, what was his name? Arthur, King Arthur. You know, he was just and he was holy and he was righteous. And he loved everybody and helped everybody out. And then they had this guy that was on the Knights of the Round Table. He come in and he knew the way to try to get in and kill Arthur. That's what the devil thinks. That's where they get the movies from, the ideas. Revelation 12, he says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. So you got angels fighting each other. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That's what it's about, folks. The devil going in trying to take it. So the devil says, if I can't take it there, I hold my ground here. That's what he's trying to do. Hold his ground. Why? He's still mad at God. Hates God. And guess what? Let me tell you something. He hates you. You're connected with God. He hates your guts. And that's why you battle. That's why you got battles. That's why you got things going on in your life. You say, man, it ain't always the devil doing it. Sometimes it's just your flesh. It's just like that preacher up there, they said, had a church, built that church 400, and his flesh, man. I mean, the temptations came, and he yielded to it. And you're going to have temptation. The devil sits back this. Here's how the devil works. Here's God on the throne, and you're over here, and you're walking around, and the devil walks up and whispers and says, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And tries to get you out of the will of God. And then he stands back and says, hey, God, you see what they're doing? You see what they're doing? They're blaspheming you. Look at them. And then he goes back to you and says, you know what? God ain't fair to you. God, if God really loved you, he wouldn't allow this happening in your life. And the devil works both sides. He'll work on you, man. He'll say, everybody's talking about you. Nobody in the church likes you. Everybody's talking about you. I mean, man, I mean, folks, I mean, you just might as well quit. That's how he works. Amen. With his mouth, he whispers in your ear. Unclean spirits will do that to you. And sometimes your flesh will get the best of you. Amen. So the Bible says don't be ignorant of his devices, the way he works. Well, you know what happens to me? I'll be thinking about it, and the devil starts saying, you know what, you deserve a lot better. You've been faithful. You've been 30 years, man. You ought to be this. And you know what I'll do? I'll say, shut up and get away from me. So you talk to yourself? Yes, sir, I talk to myself. I'll say, shut up, you stupid idiot. You deserve to be in hell with your back broke, your eyes scratched out. That's what you deserve. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You do it real quick. Amen. Don't let it linger in your mind. Amen, don't let them thoughts stay there. Because if you do, he'll work on some more. He'll throw some more at you. Throw some more at you. You know, and then before long, you'll be, man, you're sitting in church and you just can't feel nothing. Why? You've been listening to the wrong voice. You can't feel nothing. Look here, Revelation 13. He's slick. When you read the book of Revelation, brother, I tell you what, you know what's coming down the pipe. And I look at world events and try to see what's going on. And they've already got a computer chip. They've already got, look at the last verse of 18, 3:6. 13, 18. Chapter 13 represents a leopard. If you read your Bible in Leviticus chapter 13, God gives the Jews, they said leprosy came in the Jewish colony. Where did leprosy come from? God brought a plague. And leprosy is still uncurable. There is no cure for it. And God brought that leprosy because of the Jewish plague, and then that leprosy went around the world. There's a leopard colony in China. There's leopard colonies in the Middle East. And it's uncurable, and you'll die. Your body parts start rotting off and falling off. And leprosy, God says, okay, Leviticus 13, God says, here's a plague. If somebody gets leprosy, and God tells you that. Then Revelation 13, guess who shows up? The leopard himself, coming up out of the sea. And he walks like a bear, and he talks like a lion. He has power like a dragon. And it's a man. It's a man. I've been looking on the news saying, where's this guy? Is it George Soros? Yeah. George Soros hates America. He hates. He's for socialism. That's what the Antichrist is going to be for. Obama was for socialism. Right. There's a lot of politicians in Washington for socialism. You know, thank God, like I said, thank God Trump got in. Man kind of slowed it down because it's going to come. It's coming. He slowed it down some, though. Look what the Bible says. Talking about Revelation 13. And it says, and it was given unto him, verse 7, given unto him to make war of the saints, to overcome them. Who's the saints talking about? It's talking about tribulation saints. And you say, is there going to be anybody around? Well, the rapture takes place. I've said this 100 times. If the rapture takes place, say 10% of the world population are Christians. Say 10%. Some people say, oh, less than that. But there's people getting saved in China. There's people getting saved in Russia. There's people getting saved in Pakistan. There's people getting saved around the world. America has turned their back on the gospel. But there's places in Africa, other places getting saved, people getting saved. And Doc always taught us when we was in Bible school, he said, you know what? The gospel will go like the sun against the earth. The gospel of Jesus Christ travels east to west. It left Antioch, Syria, and it's come across into Europe, and now it's coming to America, and guess what? It keeps going. It's going around the world. The gospel. God, and England sent out missionaries. Said the sun never set on the English Empire. England was a powerhouse. And wherever their ships went, the gospel went. And England took the gospel around the world. America has been sending. So why is it so important to send missionaries out to keep the gospel going around the world? Every day that sun goes, it goes west to east. The sun goes east to west. The world always goes against the sun. So look in Revelation 13 and look at verse 7. And it was given on him to make war of the saints and overcome them. Talking about the Antichrist. I was going to tell you this, that if 10% of the people are saved, that's 7.5 billion people on the planet, that 700 million people are going to disappear, and it's going to leave 6 billion some odd people on this earth. And guess what? That's when Matthew 24 kicks in. Matthew 24 kicks in, he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. You got holiness people, you got charismatic people, you've got Pentecostal people preaching, you got to endure to the end, you got to hold on, hold out, and all that stuff, and you might never be saved, you never know if you're saved or not. They read in Matthew 24, that Matthew 24 is talking about tribulation. So in Matthew 24, he says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. See, that the Bible is like, man, it's like a puzzle, and the pieces go in the right place. And you got to put it in the right. That's why the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to rightly divide it. If you're not a dispensationalist, and when I'm talking about dispensation, the Bible talks about dispensation, and dispensationalists, they divide the Bible up, and it divides it up in the right, and who's it talking to, when, where, how, all that. So we're in the dispensation of salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. But guess what? When the tribulation takes place, it's going to be what? Enduring to the end. Holding on, working it out. That's where the Jehovah's Witnesses will be right then. Mormons will be right then. I told them, I said, y'all can have the earth, man. You can have it. We'll be gone. I'll be gone. Yes, I'll be gone. When the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Amen. We're going to have to stop right there, man. I'm just now getting thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God we're saved.